just became a raven.
Your art matters. It's what got me here.
Let's go. Ravens on three. 1, 2, 3, Ravens!
Hello and welcome to The Ravens, a One Tree Hill podcast. I'm Simon and I love One Tree Hill.
And I'm Dom and I've seen 141 episodes of One Tree Hill.
My God. And tonight's episode for debate is Season 7, Episode 11, You Know I Love You, Don't You?
I'm Drew Barrymore and you're listening to The Ravens Podcast with Simon and Dom.
So hello and welcome to The Ravens, a One Tree Hill podcast where it's always 10:30 at night, so it's time to grab the snacks from the sweet cupboard, move on upstairs and settle in as tonight's episode for debate is Season 7, Episode 11, You Know I Love You, Don't You? Dom? We're here. You know I love you, don't you?
I know you love me. You know I love you, don't you?
Like, impeccably. To, like, a different level. To just the intensity of your love overwhelms me sometimes. And good. Never underwhelmed by your love.
Good. That's how I want you to feel, always.
Constantly tsunamied by your love.
Maybe we should stop there.
No, I do. I appreciate your love. And it's something that's continued to grow and be garnered through this podcast medium. And it's another reason why I'm grateful for it.
Absolutely.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm happy to be podcasting again. It's been a busy week, but I'm glad to be back in Podland. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, thank you. Is that a big Easter egg on your counter behind? It's like gold. Is it like Ferrero Rocher?
That is a mini egg Easter egg. Uh-huh. And then that is a Cadbury's cream egg Easter egg.
So many egg themed eggs.
And then there's a lint gold bunny there somewhere. Okay. I think there.
Oh yeah.
That's what he said. They're not all mine. Good. That's not all mine. The mini egg Easter egg is mine. And then the rest, like the bunny is a shared item. And then the other Easter egg is for Ruby.
So none of them eggs are for me.
I'll get you an Easter egg. Perfect time to get them now. They're all like half price.
The scrimping and saving on my gifts.
That tsunami of love has been reduced to a wave. Yeah.
A puddle at this point. Dom, One Tree Hill. I'm so sorry for the delay on our latest merch drop, but I'm about to drop the hoodies in to be printed, and then Dom, they'll be with you for shipping. His face. That was the deal. I print, you ship.
I haven't got a problem with the deal. I have not got a problem with the deal. It's just a lot, isn't it? It's just how many orders have we got this time? Please. How many orders? Please.
I don't know if we should be giving quantities out on the podcast. People know just how successful or unsuccessful we
just
are.
Just gesture by number. I mean, there's a chat feature that we could use, but just gesture. Okay, yeah. Okay, I can handle that.
That amount is mine, so it's only that that's being sent.
The ones that are yours.
Yes.
Are they? Did you get two hoodies?
I got two. Well, because there's two designs.
Was there?
Yeah, I offered you this. I said there's one that had the design
that we got, and then
there was one of just having the logo on the front and the back. So I was like, I'll just get one of each. I don't want to miss out. I knew that you'd regret not getting the logo one. Like, I knew that you would. There's still time. Like, we'll have to delay everybody else's.
No, it's okay. It's okay. I've still got Kat's previous order sitting in a drawer waiting to go. She told me not to send it because I believe her brother lives in the UK. And her plan was to visit the UK at some point. and I could give it to her or send it to her brother. But
she's
not sure.
An order here too. So
okay,
we could you know, this
just
is
bundle
another
it all
one
up
that's...
and send it
yeah.
to her. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, well that's good news. That's good news that it's ready, it's nearly done, and that's exciting, and it's gonna be a nice fresh Adidas hoodie, which again is an item I do not own. I have owned, but do not own currently.
Super premium, man. I'm sorry about the delay. Like it is my fault. It's just been a busy time.
You've had a busy time, haven't you? Busy time.
Yeah. But let's talk about One Tree Hill. It's just you and me tonight. Okay. So Jay couldn't make it, but we will rearrange and, you know, make that happen. So much love to you, Jay, as always. Dom, I mean, where do you want to begin?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, we kind of hinted at it on the last watch along that this episode is pretty similar to the last episode. It's like continuation, isn't it? It's continuation of all the storylines that are happening and things are progressing and moving forward, kind of not moving forward as quickly as I would expect, I guess. Like past experience of One Tree Hill is that things happen at lightning speed and there's no real sense of time, but yeah, this seems to be a bit of a slow burn, I'm gonna be honest. I struggled on the last watch along. I must apologize for those that were there. I was so tired. I'd been up since 6:30 that morning. It was gone 11 our time, PM. And I was just flagging so much, really, really struggling. And yeah, we kind of made the decision to do a little swapsie and change some things around. But
you know, well, if anyone didn't get it, what a big giveaway might have been. Because I watched the watch along back to, you know, get the sense of what your vibe was for the podcast.
Yeah.
And something that surprised me as I was like cleaning up and stuff and listening to it was I like stopped it to say something to be like, oh, it's funny about this, that, and the other. And your reaction was, yeah, yeah, just shut up and play the episode. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. I remember now.
I apologize for my poor actions there.
I thought it was funny.
Very bad of me. But yes.
Just shut up and play the episode. I need to go to bed.
Oh, there were three times where I thought I'm asleep with my eyes open. There were three occasions throughout the entire watch. I thought I was asleep with my eyes open. I didn't know I could do this because things just went blank. I just couldn't see anymore. I'm like, yeah, I was having difficulties, lots of difficulties of getting through it.
I remember when we used to record in person. This is pre One Tree Hill, and this was pre-lockdown, but we were getting close to it, I think, like close to COVID happening. And you'd been working these crazy long hours at your previous job, and it was all, you know, you were like physically exerting your body, you know, as well as like your mind and whatever. Like it was a physical job. I'm not saying what you do now, you know, but when you're at a computer, it's different to when you're like running around doing like 20,000 steps in a day. And we were doing Celtic Pride and the movie. And there was a moment where I looked into your eyes and your eyes had just gone like black. They're like a shark's eyes and you'd just gone. And I knew that you were like almost falling out of your chair. I just sort of paused it and was, are you okay? Are you able to continue talking about Celtic Pride?
We can get through it. We can do it. it was so bad. In hindsight, it's a really silly thing to do. Like, it's a really, because I then had to drive home as well, and just driving is just as bad as driving drunk, isn't it? You know, just because you fall asleep at the wheel on that. But yeah, just should have just slept in your office. I should have just said, can I just sleep for 20 minutes in your office somewhere? I'll be okay after that, you know.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Well, you could. But it's the beauty, is it? But we have made some changes to our watch-alongs. We put it out on our Patreon. So we're going to do the watch-alongs, just Dom and I, to help with the fatigue. We're going to do Raven Social. So once a month on a Sunday at an earlier time, we're just going to come on Zoom and spend time just chatting with people and just really enjoying that element. But after our watch along last week, I was ill for like 4 or 5 days, just from being so tired and overdoing it. I know I get ill all of the time, but it's because I stay up late so much and have these horrible adult responsibilities that I have to do during the day,
like have children and have a wife and have a job.
I mean, those are the beautiful parts, is the have a job part that does it. But you know, it's we have to be sensible with ourselves. Like, we have to be kind to our bodies and get enough sleep and all of those things. So what's wrong with that?
No, there's kind. Nothing. There's like nothing being wrong with kind. I think we do need to look after ourselves. We need to look after ourselves like a lot better than we do. And I mean, we've both kind of been saying to each other for a long time as well, like, I just feel like shit on a Thursday all the time. I feel so crappy. And we started calling it the post-pod hangover because we were just, it was that same thing, headache. I could barely open my eyes, you know, everything hurts and I can't concentrate, all of these things. And I think it's the right decision. Just to, you never know, it's something like that might come back. We might do it again, but I think for now we just need to kind of do our episode with our Raven, who we love to talk to, and then watch the next episode with or without that Raven, depending on, you know, their time constraints and their availability, and then that's it, really. Just, I think, go to bed.
You're not getting out of the Hallmark annual Christmas watch-along movie, though.
That's etched in, isn't it? That's in stone somewhere in the contract where I have to be there. I do have an office quiz, as in The Office. And I know that a lot of our Ravens and a lot of our listeners are Office fans. And I've written an office quiz. At the moment, it's like 23 questions. I want to make it up to 25 questions. And I've called it the Finer Things Club because it's really like nuanced details. So I was thinking on one of our socials, maybe the first social, just to ease us in, I could run this little quiz for everyone if they want to join. Even if you're not an office fan, you can take part because it's all multiple choice. But for those people out there that think they know The Office well, This will be the true test if you're down for that.
I think that sounds awesome. Yeah, perfect way to kick it off.
Awesome. Cool.
Nice. Well, let's kick off our One Tree Hill segment of this episode. So where do you want to start? I mean, there's a lot of heaviness in this episode. So where who do you want to go with?
I think I'd actually quite like to start with Dan and Rachel, but kind of go through that journey, that part of the story, if that's okay.
Please give it to us, my friend. What happens?
Obviously, we're back in Tree Hill for Dan and Rachel. So the big idea from Rachel,
the sweeps,
is to
bloody sweeps
is to film an episode of their TV show in the school, where it all happened, where Dan murdered his brother and framed Jimmy for it all. And that's kind of the plan. This is going to get mega ratings. It's going to get the best reviews. And we're going to have this will be the best show we've ever done. It'll be great, right? But Dan is suffering. He's suffering inside. He doesn't want to do it. He's got that sick sense of, you know, within him, that consciousness is kicking in. Like, that kid's heart is really doing wonders for him because it's turned him into a proper human being. Obviously we'll talk about the confrontation he has later on, but Rachel is like, no, we need to go big, we need to go bold, we need to do the episode here. You know, she mentioned in the previous episode that she was one of the kids in the classroom, so she has first-hand experience as well, and it'd be good to have her insight on the show. So she's very much getting herself involved. And then when Dan decides that he doesn't want to pursue it anymore, he doesn't want to be part of this episode anymore, enough's enough, he goes to buy her out. It's like, I'm going to buy you out. Here's a check. That's your rent covered. You're all good. And we can just part ways and life's good from here, right? Not in Rachel's eyes. Rachel was like, no. I know how much you've got in the bank. My name is Mrs. Scott. I'm entitled to half of it. And when you're gone, I'm entitled to all of it. And I thought, oh my God, what a bitch. It's just like, we know it hasn't been for love. We know it's all been for money. But there have been moments where he says, I love you, and she kind of says it back, or she kind of pussyfoots around it. And now we're just in a whole world of like, shit, how am I going to get rid of this person? And I'm now thinking, Dan's thinking about killing her now. Dan's option is, if I kill her, or she is mysteriously disappears, all my problems kind of go away. And I can just drop the show, and I can go back to living my life and kind of be at home in Tree Hill and try and be a good person.
Well, we'll see. But yeah, that was like the complete synopsis with a prediction, which I love. We do see Jimmy's mother, and we do get a very, which I think was the best scene of the episode by a country mile, as they like to say.
The sound on the slap was immense. Fantastic.
And this very much felt like, One Tree Hill of old. Yeah. Like, this is an older One Tree Hill scene. This is what we were used to. The woman that played Jimmy's mum, I don't have her name to hand, so I apologize, but she was great.
Mm.
She gave a great performance. And Paul Johansson always rises to the challenge when in those moments, and pairs off in those scenes so beautifully. Yeah, I thought that was like, yes, this was the show. This was it.
It was.
I wish they leaned more into that, not into horrible, sad things all the time, but just in that was the pocket of the show.
Yeah, we suddenly stepped away from that soap feeling, didn't we?
Yes.
To like, and the recurring, ongoing themes of things happening, like, rather than it being a season of different things happening and these characters developing, it's turned into the storyline is progressing, but incredibly slowly because we're filling out content. But this felt like the drama was back and the emotion was back in it. And that feeling of just that pain and anguish that do you remember all the teenage angst we used to talk about? That had gone. Mm-hmm. That's completely gone, isn't it? That doesn't exist now. We've got kind of adult angst, I guess, but it's kind of framed in such a different way. And it's so hard to kind of associate ourselves, I think, with these people because they're so different. But we could understand the teenagers, couldn't we? Because we've been them, mm-hmm. But now it's kind of a little bit out the window. With kind of their career progressions and they're millionaires at 22 or whatever, it's difficult. It's quite difficult to follow. Not all of them, obviously, who I'm pinpointing there. But yeah, when Jimmy's mum turns up and it's just like so real, just felt so real. Yeah. And it was kind of like, oh man, yeah, really tugging at the heartstrings again. If I had one.
Yeah. If you. We know you don't, but yeah. Yes. It was really sad. Really sad. Well, shall we move over to Mouth and Millie while we're on the sad train? Though, God, almost everybody is on the sad train except for Skills, maybe. Even there's a little hint of sadness there towards the end. But, yeah, Mouth and Millie. I mean, Millie is full-blown now. She did in the last episode, bleeding from the nose. But she really has a drug problem now. Mm. And she's trying to get coke off of, forgotten her name.
Don't do this to me.
Cassandra. No.
That sounds about right.
It's not though, is it? Her, the model. People are like, people are screaming it at us through their headphones, but we can't hear you. I'm sorry. But Cassidy? No.
Oh, it could be. That sounds about right. I mean, I thought Cassandra was right, but Cassidy sounds a lot closer to the truth.
Or Melody. It's something like... Anyway, but...
See, it's the C kind of sound feels right.
Yeah, yeah. Chasty, no.
Do you want to Google it? I can't look it up, but you can.
Yeah, no, it's not worth it.
This is why it's good to have a Raven on, because they know the answers to this shit.
I'm supposed to fill that gap.
I'm Simon, and I love One Tree Hill.
Lies. I feel like, yeah, no, I feel like editing that going forward. I'm Simon, and I love One Tree Hill seasons 1 to 6. Oh, it could just end up being season 1.
Yeah. But
first 6 episodes.
I'm Simon, and I tolerate One Tree Hill.
I'm Simon, I'm forever associated with One Tree Hill. No, I love it. I do love it. It's like a marriage, or no, let's not say that. But you know, it's for the ups and downs, the lefts and rights.
You're in it for the long haul.
Yeah, well, but it's not like a marriage, because hopefully over time a marriage strengthens and, you know, becomes better and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Not that it ever starts as bad, but you know, you evolve together. But we've been evolving, and One Tree Hill has been de-evolving to a certain extent. Anyway, Millie's trying to get drugs off of this woman, and she says, you owe me $600, or I will take that clothes over bro's, you know, unreleased dress. Can't do that. Well, okay, it's not snowing for you, Millie. You know, no more drugs. Victoria gets her out of jail. You know, there's a lot going on. She walks out on Mouth. She really doesn't give a shit about Mouth anymore. She's really sad. Alex flushes her drugs and says, hey, if you want to be friends with me, you know, I can't have you around like this. You know, it's me or this, you know, what are we doing here? Yeah, I mean, what did you make of all of this?
Yeah, it's so difficult to watch, isn't it? Because, like, is it Lisa Goldstein, we said last week? She's doing a fantastic job of just playing this kind of bitch now, who's so conflicted. And when she's lying on the bed, like, she comes back, Mal's been looking everywhere for her, didn't think to look in his own bedroom, but he's been looking everywhere for her. And she's there, and she's pretending to be asleep, and he says, you know, I really miss you, Millicent. I kind of hate it when he says her full name. I kind of like sort of low-key hate it, but like he says, I really miss you, Millicent, and you know, I miss the way you were, and I miss like you being this kind of hard-working assistant that was working her way up the company and kind of taking ownership of things and just doing such a good job and being such a great person, and to what you've become, and you've changed so much, and it's kind of things just aren't right. And then she sort of like is teary-eyed and crying, and then that spurs her to go and get more drugs. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't spur her to change. And I guess that's kind of part of that path, isn't it? Part of that problem. It's you know, you can't just shake it. You can't just suddenly go, well, Mouth's upset with me, so I'm going to stop doing it. And I think I would have been really disappointed in the show if it had done something like that. So it's obviously like, it's a good thing that they're showing that this is such a big struggle for her. And she's really upsetting everyone kind of in her path, kind of lays it on Alex, calls her stupid. How would you ever think anyone like Julian essentially would fall in love with you? You know, you're just a dumb actress, basically, is kind of how she labels her, and that she'll kind of amount to nothing. She's just really harsh to Mouth, just isn't communicating with him. And like you said, walks out on him. And then Brooke... just super harsh to Brooke. Brooke kind of gets her own back a little bit with like not bailing her out. But I think that was actually a good step, is like make a good statement there. Obviously Victoria, as you mentioned, does get her out of jail that day, but it's just like relentless. It's just like, I'll do anything to get that next kind of fix. And eventually she does take the dress. So she's in that frame of mind where she will just get, she's like hitting rock bottom, and she's alienating everyone along the way. It's going to be really difficult for her to build those relationships back up.
Yeah, well put. And just to say that I think it's a show choice that she calls Mouth Marvin and he calls Millie Millicent. But I agree. It's, you're making the name longer. Like, you'd think they'd have a different name. Be like Mills and Mo.
Marv's.
Yeah, Marv. Marv.
Marv and Mills.
Yeah, Marv and Mills. Well, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
To each their own. Okay. So, well, how far do you think it's going to go?
I don't know. I really thought Alex would kind of jump back on the bandwagon, but we'll get to her kind of journey and this, and like, with, she started drinking and she's supposed to be sober, and I thought she would go on this kind of like crazy bender and this downward spiral that way. That was kind of what I was thinking, and that did not happen in this episode. But I'm looking forward to talking about her and her path in this episode, because she's scheming as well. I'm just not sure with Millie. I don't really know what's going to happen. I think Mouth gets this offer from Skills, doesn't he, to move away. If, like, if that's it, if this is kind of it for you and Millie, come with me to LA if I get the job in LA. I sort of kind of hope that Skills doesn't get it, but I want him as a character to kind of progress and do something different. I feel like he's contributing to something. So I think if he does get it, Mouth still won't go. And if he does go, it won't go for long. It will just be like a short trip. But I think Millie will end up kind of realizing that she's caused so much pain and she's in a world of hurt herself. And even maybe stealing that dress, because that model's going to end up wearing the dress. It will be seen. It will be out and about. And it will be like, well, Millie, you had access to that. So Brooke's going to like call the cops on her, and they put her back in jail for a bit or whatever. And then it's like, you need therapy, you need help, you need something to sort you out and get you clean, get her clean, and her and Marv have a wonderful relationship from there. And they kind of reconnect. It's all hugs and kisses and kittens and rainbows once again.
Excellent. Well, as always, we shall see. Well, do you want to go over to Alex at this point? I know you're saying maybe that would connect, because you kind of would have to kind of do Alex, Julian, and Brooke to an extent together, I think.
Yeah, or maybe we could just touch on Skills a little bit, just because we can kind of sign him off. But he then links very closely to, and actually Nathan and Haley's journey, because through Jamie. But Skills is really like trying to get this kind of show reel put together, with this reel for this kind of job as a coordinator, sports coordinator for films. And Jamie happens to be watching White Man Can't Jump on the TV. This is his favorite film, and this scene is fantastic. So they go, and he uses him and Chuck to kind of recreate the scene, and Mouth films it, and then we have obviously Quinn and Haley watching in the car as well. So they have some like audience onlookers watching them. And he kind of spells it out to Jamie, and kind of just says it out, that why he might not be around for much longer. If he gets a job, he's going to have to move to LA, and it might not be forever. But they'll still see each other and they'll still be friends. And Jamie's like clearly hurt by this. And he makes it very clear that he doesn't want to leave Tree Hill, which is obviously very important to what's going on in his family's life, because everything that they're doing at the moment is pointing towards leaving Tree Hill. So yeah, Jamie's really struggling with that, and struggling with the idea of kind of moving on. But I have a theory for all of this, which, you know, could be totally outlandish and totally crazy, but we can come back to it when we get to Nathan and Haley, if you want to.
Absolutely, I do.
Nice. When we move towards Alex then, it's tough. This is a tough one. This is hard, heavy, heavy going, heavy, heavy content, and difficult to talk about. But at the beginning of the episode, she's really like quite conniving. And it essentially leads to her getting herself into a state of, I feel like I'm not worthy or not worth anything.
You're talking about the fertility clinic pamphlet stuff.
Yeah. So that's the conniving part. That's the part where Julian's told her something in confidence that he should not have told her. Yeah. She is the worst person to be saying anything to at this stage in time, because we know Brooke hates her and is really struggling with their relationship, and we know she can't really keep her mouth shut, and we know it, for whatever reason, she's going to intervene and say something. I really thought that when they were in their gentle embrace, because they were hugging, that Brooke would walk in and it'd be like, that would be the issue. But no, 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 it got so much worse. And she turns up with all these fertility clinic things, playing the supportive friend, but really meaning kind of, I'm better than you. And the whole Julian tells me everything thing is just like, well, that's bullshit. And she's really playing them off against each other. She knows they're having difficulties. She knows they're having problems. She now knows that they have a physical, biological issue. And he now has decided, like, you know, I didn't even know I wanted kids until I was told I couldn't have them, kind of scenario. So she's now using that to drive an even bigger wedge between them.
I agree. The only thing, though, is that I think that's all true. And she even adds in the, we just want you to, you know, get well or have the best, you know, treatments or whatever. Like, the we is just, like, terrible of putting the knife in. But I did think that Brooke was so mean back to her that it was unnecessary. Like, as in, yes, that hurts, but it doesn't mean that therefore you have a free pass to destroy somebody else, which is something that can happen quite often with her character. And now, I don't know what the future holds. Like, as in, I do know, but I mean, I can't remember. So I'm saying this genuinely. This isn't like a spoiler, trying to do whatever. But as far as I know, I don't think she's going to at any point apologize to her. I mean, I might be wrong. I don't think she's ever going to go, hey, sorry, I went too far by saying that you're worthless and that you're the reason why this project didn't work out and X, Y, and Z. And, you know, you're just a waste of space. Get the fuck out of my shop. Like, there was just no... It's like you've completely reacted out of emotion. And yes, okay, you're upset. Totally. And her issue really is with Julian, because he was the one that shared the information. So, yes, okay, how she's acted, as in Alex, is terrible and not good. And I agree, is conniving and manipulating, whatever. But ultimately, that wouldn't have happened if Julian hadn't have shared that. But I think that she acted, and I know that she's also hurt because, you know, she can't have children, and that's horrible and all of that, of course. But it's just, it doesn't give you a free pass to destroy people. And I think that the show puts her in a point that in 2009, 8, whenever it was that this was airing, we're meant to, as an audience, be like, yeah, Brooke, yeah, tell her to fuck off and whatever. And it's like, no.
It hits really differently, doesn't it? It's really differently from probably, and I'm sure we'd have a lot of ravens that have watched this, and even some pigeons that have watched this previously and gone, yeah, you tell her, you know. And then... but now think, actually, that's you know, bang out of order, and not something that she should be saying. Because Julian is definitely in the wrong here. Julian has given her information that she should not know. It has nothing to do with her. It is none of her business how Brooke's body functions or doesn't function, you know. I mean that genuinely. You're sort of grinning at me, but I mean that genuinely. It's nothing... You're laughing at me now.
Don't give away my grins. If I don't make a noise, that means it's not audioed. How dare you? This is not a video podcast. This is the terminology about her bodily functions.
Nothing to do with Alex, is it? And he has no place sharing that information with anyone other than his... you know, girlfriend, what, like, soon to be wife, whatever. Although they're not engaged, are they? Or are they engaged? They were they maybe discussed engagement, but they're not engaged.
Yeah, there's been so much chat on
that. I don't really know.
But in Tree Hill, you can get anyone's medical records. Just go ask their doctor. Like, you don't need any clearance.
There is no GDPR in Tree Hill. So Julian is absolutely in the wrong and has no right to be saying anything. But on the other side of that, Alex has absolutely no right to go and say something to Brooke and go and manipulate and be conniving and, you know, say, oh, you know, we're the best of friends and we talk about everything. And, you know, the two of us are going to get you the best help we can. And again, on the back of that, Brooke has absolutely no right to kind of throw it in her face that she's a liability and she's the problem and she's the one that, you know, she's the reason nobody wants to make her films, because nobody wants to work with her because she's such a an issue, a drama queen, you could say. But I just find that all the way through, so Julian then finding that out that information, goes and slams her for it and is just like, you've done it again, we're not even talking now and it's all your fault and I just don't want anything to do with you. Millie being like, you're worthless, and basically saying you're a nothing, you're a nobody, you has been, and Brooke spelling that out for her as well, saying you're worthless, nobody has been, and she's already feeling pretty low internally anyway, and this just makes it worse, just so much worse. And it just piles on, it gets too much for her, and then we have the incredibly dramatic phone call that she makes. And again, quite kind of heart-wrenching, if you've got one, kind of moment of, you know, she apologized for the text message. I shouldn't have told you, I shouldn't have said I love you or whatever. But, you know, and then when we have the phone call and the answer phone message, it's like, that it's never going to change. It's not going to change. I love you. That's how I feel. But I'm not going to be a problem for you anymore. I'm kind of not going to be that thorn in your side. And she is then cut her wrists and then in a bath, kind of letting herself, I guess, die slowly.
Yeah, it's a really like, I don't know what the word is. The image is so strong, it like stays with you.
Yeah.
Of her in the bath and the blood. Like, it's, yeah, it's really, it's hard to get that out of your head. And really sad. And I guess it's also the epitome of, you never know what somebody else is going through. You know, you're only ever seeing the tip of the iceberg. You don't know what's going on underneath. And just to, as much as you can, to just treat people with kindness. And to quote Michelle Obama, you know, when they go low, we go high. And that is the way to, not that I can preach to anyone, but I'm just trying to say that's the way to try and go through life, because you only get brought down into the misery that other people are creating for themselves and others, you know, if you can just rise above it and try and navigate with kindness, then, you know, you'll create a much better world around you. And yeah, it's really sad. This all could have been avoided.
Yeah, it says a lot for sort of karma, doesn't it? And exactly what you're saying. If you're outwardly giving off this kind of sense of kindness and goodness about you, people are going to trust you more. But she's always outwardly giving this sense of, I'm this big superstar. I do drink and I do drugs and I, you know, don't really care about my fans, and I pretend to, but I actually couldn't give a shit. And, you know, it is what it is. I'm more interested in, you know, being a bit ditzy and having my picture taken or being on film and making lots of money than I am in genuine people. But if it was the other way around, then people have a lot more respect for it and a lot more understanding, a lot more willing to work with people, the film would have happened, you know, so on and so on and so on. And it, you know, it happens in all walks of life. It happens to everyone. We all have moments, whether it be, you know, early on in life or later on in life, where we kind of have a bit of a blip, you know. Even, you know, I think we're both pretty nice people, we're pretty kind, you know, we try and put out, you know, good thoughts and feelings and share that with a lot of people, but we have blips of bad times and bad moments, and it affects the people around you, you know. It's just what happens.
Absolutely. Well, so what's your prediction?
I think Julian's going to come to the rescue and Brooke's going to be angry about it. What exactly what you know what you were saying about Brooke? Brooke is the Brooke is the sort of person that would say she got what she deserved. she's that. She is though, isn't she? She's that kind of person. She's
horrible, man. We've been saying it for ages. Yeah. But like, let's just be real. She's not a very nice person. But no. Yeah, she's painted. Like, if you did a survey that went out to 1 million One Tree Hill fans, like, let's say, I think that the percentage of who's your favorite character that Brooke would win, I'm pretty sure it would be Brooke would be up there. Lucas, by the sounds of it, really wouldn't. It'd be between like Brooke, Nathan, Haley, maybe Peyton, potentially, like for the general populace. But she'd be right up there in contention of the top spot. And it's like, but she's actually pretty horrible. And she's I think
worst.
her like snaps of like da 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 of my perfect Pilates ass. It's like that's kind of what she's like. It's funny because she's feisty and it's actually no, she's just kind of horrible, man.
Yeah.
Like when you think about who were the really kind characters. Oh god. Gonna get hate for this, but you know, people like Lucas that would go above and beyond for people. Do you remember like Glenda, you know, in the early seasons of making, you know, just I don't know, I think he has his flaws too, but he was never like just bitchy to people. Just had enough of her, Dom. Get her out of my life.
I can't control that, unfortunately. I think she's a niner, so I think we've got a while of Brooke left.
but at the same time, I do also feel sorry for her. Let's just be clear about that, like the fertility stuff. And she's obviously been through so much as a character, but I just wish that they'd written her with more nuance and resilience to be like, these things have happened, but they're not going to define me. You know, I'm still going to be kind to people and be nice to people and etc. But no, she at the moment, she's just not.
Yeah, I totally agree. But she is definitely the sort of person that says she got what she deserved. And I'm going to leave that there. But I think Alex will be saved. I think Julian's the kind of guy that will get a spare key to the hotel room or get the hotel like busboy, you've got to let me in this room because you know anything could be happening, or kick down the door, something. He'll do something heroic to kind of save her and help her, and it will be Brooke that is sour, very sour about it, and finds it difficult, like you're always running to rescue her, but kind of it'll probably be one of those things where he's just gone straight there from Trick, because I think he's in Trick because like the last time we see him. Go straight to the hotel room to kind of rescue her rather than getting back to Brooke because they want to discuss some things and kind of iron some things out. And it calls 911 and saves her and, you know, helps her get through the next stage of kind of trying to get back to normality and kind of, you know, understanding that it's not okay to just suddenly say I love you, but see, he understands and they can be friends or whatever. And Brooke's going to hate it. Brooke's going to hate it so much. I just want to jump to Victoria very quickly because Victoria kind of almost mirrors something Alex says where it's like, well, we can adopt. And she says, we can adopt, not, well, you can adopt, you know, something that you can do. She says, we can adopt. And I really struggled with Victoria and Brooke's relationship in this episode because there was absolutely no hint of my mother hated me for 20 years. It was all like we've been a really close-knit family forever and I can tell my mum anything. And I know that kids will default to that and with their parents and have that sense of this is my mum and I just want to tell them something and I want them to love me and you know unconditionally. But they haven't had that relationship. So I really struggled that it did sort of just, oh, come here, let's hug it out and, you know, we can adopt and I will get the best doctors that money can buy and we'll really like do this and do that. And it just didn't feel right for their characters and for their history. What do you think about them as a pairing at the moment and the sensibilities behind it?
No, I agree. I think it's like what we've been saying recently is it's kind of lazy writing. Like in the last episode, we were saying how you could have connected this to what happened in season 1, 2, 3, whatever, you know, bringing these references and callbacks. And yeah, it's like they could have thrown something in there to make it feel a bit more realistic to what we know of their past. And yeah, it doesn't mean that therefore they can't be having like a positive relationship now and that they've moved beyond it, but there should also be, they should move as if that is what has happened, not just that it's always been plain sailing.
With Brooke, I thought of something very specific in this episode. It was only really this, like, although we discussed it in the last episode, it was this episode that really made me think of it. And there's an episode in an earlier season where does Lucas go around a mall or go to like shopping places with Peyton to buy Brooke a present?
That sounds familiar.
And like he spends the whole day with Peyton, and they're like, it's all like fun and jokes and stuff. And it's like, oh yeah, I need to get Brooke a present for her birthday or whatever. And she's doing all that. And this episode, for whatever reason, triggered this kind of memory of that. And thinking, maybe she thinks that's what Julian's doing as well. Because all Lucas was doing was get that airtime and that focus time with Peyton. And, you know, really like trying to spend as much time with her as possible. And I had such a great day with you. And it was so much fun. And maybe it's that kind of, it's just the mall situation again. He's going to her every time for everything. And I know we discussed it on the last one as well, but that episode in particular seemed to flash back in my memory today as I was rewatching.
Yeah, exactly. It's like I've been in a triangle and lost. And when Julian first came back, you know, Brooke was worried that was happening again, that he came back for Peyton, but he came back for the other girl in the book, you know, and that was all a great moment. And, but again, as you always say, it just comes down to communication. If she could just say, Julian, I feel insecure when you're spending time with Alex. Can you communicate with me? Just be clear, you know, what's going on, what's happening. And it's his sort of role to make her, like, her self-esteem is her self-esteem. It's not his job to, you know, boost it or whatever. Like, it's for her to have control over it. But he could easily just let her know and just say, hey, there's nothing to worry about here. I'm just trying to be supportive. Like we said in the previous episode, come with me. Like, let's do this together. You know, so on and so on. Like, he has a duty to safeguard her feelings as much as he can and be a decent boyfriend. But I think some of this stuff, it just feels a bit like, I'm tired. Like, we've done all of this. Like, some of this drama is so much. Let's just have a week off where just nothing happens. Like, I feel a bit old for it almost. Like, I just want to, I want to be Whitey. I just want to sit in a rocking chair, read my paper, drink something out of a flask.
And babbling in a dress.
I want to babble in a dress. That's exactly it. But okay, well, let's move on to what about Nathan, Haley. We're going to Spain. Am I going on tour? You got to go on tour because contractually, blah, 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 blah. The buzz of your album, blah, 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 blah. Or maybe you got to go to Spain. It's the only offer that's on the table. You know, we can get you back in the NBA. So what are we doing? Are we going to Spain? Are we going on tour? Are we doing both? We're doing what? That's kind of been the whole back and forth of this episode. Quinn, I don't need to argue with you right now. We're having a truce because I need some life advice. Oh, but Haley, I always get my life advice from you. You're the one that's so sturdy and this, that, and the other. Uh-huh, compliment me more, compliment me less. Okay, we're all okay again. Yay, yay. We're all millionaires and we're 22. Yay.
Nice. I enjoyed your synopsis.
Sorry, I didn't mean to do that. Boy, What do you think here? Predictions, okay. Thoughts, comments.
So I really struggled with the I'm going on tour in a week. These things are planned for fucking years. Like literally, it's not suddenly like you're going on tour in a week unless she was hopping on the back of someone else's tour that has been in the workings in the making for like a year. They've kind of gone, what, your new album's out and we need to promote it, so you're going on a tour. And it's just like, oh, she's just going to jump in a bus and rock up to fucking God knows where in America and suddenly just start singing and people will appear, the crowds will come, they'll hear your voice.
Field of, you know, dreams.
It's just fucking build it and they will come. Bollocks. It's a load of old crap. Like, it's not going to happen. This would have been in the workings for ages. I think Hayley knew about it and she just forgot to tell Nathan. She just forgot to mention it. Oh, they want me to go in a week. Yeah, have you ever done that? Like when you're a kid at school, like, oh, they only told us about it today and they told you about it 3 months ago, you know, or, you know, even if you've done that in later life.
Dom, I've been married for like coming up to 12 years. This is like a daily occurrence. Have you got the thing? What thing? I told you about it 2 weeks ago. Yes. I'm just going to go out for a minute unrelated to this.
Yeah.
I have like the worst memory for this stuff. But yeah. Yes, no, you're completely right. And
Then we move on to ask Quinn's advice. Quinn basically doesn't give any advice other than saying, I like to get drunk, which is pretty much what she labeled. I like, tequila and whatever. And it's like, no, I don't think that's Spain. It was like, what do they have in Spain then? Sangria. Oh, I love sangria. Yeah, okay, great. So more drink. But it's just kind of like, no matter what you decide, Nathan's going to choose for you anyway. So Nathan had already decided. Nathan's made up his mind that you're going to go on tour and he's going to go to Barcelona. And Jamie doesn't want to go anywhere. So, this is what I think is going to happen.
Here we go.
I think the tour is going to happen. I think Nathan is potentially likely to be planning to go to Barcelona. He's definitely planning to go, but he's going to be like one foot on the plane. But Clay is going to be like, don't go, man. That's not a way to go. I can get you into an NBA team now. Let me be your agent again. Because nobody else will have me. So clearly I'm going to go for like the biggest client ever rather than because the kid didn't want me. Because, you know, in his story, the kid didn't want him anymore, which is understandable.
The quarterback, yeah.
Yeah. You know, because he's an agent without an agency. So it makes it very difficult. And the dad's been talking to the agency and so on and so on. So I think Clay's going to kind of try and worm his way back in. And Quinn obviously has the moment at the end with the assistant, like Clay's assistant or old assistant. So there's going to be something there. Like, can you help me convince someone to give him his job back? Or can you help me just remind him that he's great at what he does and that he's got the passion for it? And that's going to spur him on to chase Nathan again. Part of me really thought that he'd go to Barcelona, Hayley would go on tour, and Jamie would stay with Dan. Dan's going to stay in Tree Hill, and they'd stay together, and that would be kind of what would happen. Once he's got rid of Rachel, he doesn't want to do the show anymore, but there's still potential for that, because there's potential for him to get an NBA team, not go to Barcelona, still be in the States, but still have Hayley go around on tour. Like I said, he won't be in a team that's nearby because there's no availability for the Bobcats. That was the team, right? Mm-hmm. So he's going to have to travel somewhere a bit further afield. Jamie's going to be like, no, I don't want to go. And instead of being responsible parents, they're going to be, instead of being irresponsible and then leaving him home alone whilst they're doing other things or leaving him on a tour bus surrounded by God knows what, like Chris Keller might appear, you never know. Leave him with Dan I think Dan might potentially be there to look after him. I also think there's potential for Skills not to get this job. So Skills will be the one that's looking after him. But yeah, I'm not sure. I don't think he'll go to Barcelona. I think it'll be close. And he'll be like, yeah, I'm pretty much on the plane on my way to go. And Clay will be like, stop the plane and get him off it. And be like, come on, I can get you an NBA team. I can do it. I know I can do it. Just have faith in me. Just let me try. And he'll be like, okay, I'm going to let you try. But if you don't succeed, I'm getting on the next flight out of here. And then he's like, I've got you this team. And, you know, it's in Louisiana. Who fuck knows?
Nice. Excellent. There you go. Very good. Well, we will see. I think that covers off everyone, doesn't it? I think that's everyone.
Yes. I think so.
Well, if there's anything we missed, we will catch it in our judgments. But before we get there, if you enjoyed this episode of the podcast,
how could you not?
Check us out, ravenshoops.net. Wide on, because basketballs go through
hoops.
But yet they also go through
nets.
Ravenshoops.net. That's where you can find all of our bonus material. I was being attacked by a daddy long legs there. I don't know if they're called that in other countries, but big spider like things that fly and are blind and they sort of hover into light. And I think they have poison. Right, I saw this in a Ricky Gervais special. They have poison, but they don't have any fangs or whatever to be able to administer it. Is that true?
Apparently, yeah. They don't have the ability to, yeah, use it against you.
To fang you. So,
yeah.
But yeah, still enough reason to be cautious. So that's where all our content is. You can get bonus material, early access, all of that good stuff. Dom, let's head into judgments. Who was your favorite performer of this episode?
Well, I've given it to Jimmy's mum, or the actor that played Jimmy's mum. Sadly, I don't know her name either, as I'm not allowed to look these things up, but I thought she did a fantastic job, even for the very brief scene she was in. The slap was incredibly convincing, had a fantastic sound, so good work there as well. But so heartfelt, so kind of gut-wrenching, and so believable, and I thought it was brilliant. So definitely her. And same question to you, Simon.
I chose her too. The same reasons. I was just instantly snapped back to a show that I love.
Yeah.
Nice. Not within the point of, it's obviously terribly sad, that scene, but I just mean, oh, look, there's One Tree Hill. Yeah. Don't know how to quite put it, but it just, you know, it found its essence again. Dom, who was your favorite character of the episode?
I actually picked Nathan for this episode. I decided that Nathan has grown so much as a character, and we're kind of reminded of it almost every episode. You know, the last one he had a difficult episode because he was telling Clay off and having a go at Quinn, and it was difficult. But the relationship and their little family, like they say, oh, I love our little family. It's really nice and it's very wholesome. But him saying here's the tour path you're going to go on, and, you know, when you're here, you can go to Disneyland, and when you're here, you can go and see the Grand Canyon, and Jamie will love all these things when he's on tour with you, and when you have the breaks in the tour, when the tour's finished, you can come and meet me in Barcelona, and we can do this, that, and the other, and it will be great, and we'll be fine, and we'll, you know, get used to talking to each other on the phone, and, you know, there's a bit tongue-in-cheek and stuff. But I thought those moments were actually, like, very mature. And although I joked about him being controlling and he makes the decisions and stuff, I think he's doing the right things because he wants to be really supportive of Haley's career as much as he wants, you know, to be in the NBA and progress in his. And he understands that he has to go to Europe to play, to be consistent and keep that performance going. So, yeah, I picked Nathan. And same question to you.
Nice. I'm actually going to go with... I'm torn between Mouth and Skills. I just, ooh, more in that of just people that just weren't involved in all of this drama and just so who I actually enjoyed, I think I'll go with Skills. Like, I enjoyed the White Men Can't Jump scene that they did and all of that, so I'm gonna go with him.
I guess they're being quite real as well. They're being like quite just being normal, aren't they?
Yeah, and it's just off of that drama for a minute. Yeah. You know, what about your favorite background performer?
One line or less. I picked the, I can only assume she was some sort of prostitute or lady of the night being taken into the police station by a police officer as Millie is taken out of it by Victoria. So I picked her. And what about you, Simon? Favorite background performer?
Nice. Well, when they were in the corridor of the school where it was like, you know, Dan and Rachel Weber. Yeah, there was someone there that was like someone with a headset, like PA type person. So I'll go with them.
Nice.
What about your favorite line of the episode?
It's a Jamie and Chuck line, and they say it together. And they say, high five, low five, chest five, toe five, booyah!
With like the, you know, hand gestures. Booyah!
Booyah! So I went for that. I thought that was a good one and a bit, you know, a bit more upbeat for the episode and for the content. So I went for that. And what about yours?
Oh, man. I guess I'll go with, but I want you to know that I'll never forgive you for the Jimmy stuff. I mean, it's a really harsh sentiment, but deep, man. It was like, yeah, it was deep. It cut. And it cut him because his whole arc is about redemption. And she's saying, you won't ever get it from me, which is super deep. What about your favorite song of the episode?
I picked, so the song that was right at the beginning was Sweet Disposition by The Temper Trap. So I went for that one. I did, however, kind of also look up two other songs because I thought you would pick one of them. So I got the names ready just in case for you.
Okay. Well, I'm split between two songs. So you might have, because I don't know what either of them are called, but you might have them. The first one being the, you gotta rock to the rhythm with the, got to give it to him, got, you know, the one for the White Men Can't Jump.
Yep, so that was called Rock to the Rhythm by Lexicon. And I thought, oh, that's the one Simon's going to, that's the one I pegged you for picking. I thought he's definitely going to choose that one. I looked it up for you.
Thank you. Whereas between that or the song that was at the end, and I know we always say that as a get out of jail free card, but I actually mean it. I am. Like, the song that was at the end was really good. Talking, the melody and the symphony. That one.
So there was a song by Nazareth called Hair of the Dog. But I think that was played sort of just after the basketball stuff.
No, this was the one that is that the one that you thought. Well, there was a lot of music in here that I liked, but I'll go with the you gotta rock with the rhythm, yeah, that one.
Nice.
I will say I was running behind, so I had to put it on my phone while we were eating dinner, like my wife and I and our son. And apart from the fact that he, anytime One Tree Hill was on, I voice noted you with him saying to it, he goes, I don't want One Tree Hill.
Yeah.
I don't want it. Right. excuse me. I might have inhaled a daddy long legs. F was like, God, is there ever a point in this when music isn't playing? Like, because it's underplaying every single scene, isn't it? But yeah, not really. F. But last but not least is the precious rating. Dom, did you have a number in mind before we started this conversation?
I did.
Did it increase, decrease, or stay the same?
I think it stayed the same. There's been some elements that we've picked out of the episode that that were quite good. There were some that are difficult to watch, but although there are elements that we like really don't enjoy about it, like Brooke's attitude and behavior and stuff, there's bits that are still like really well performed and put together quite nicely. So I'm going to stick with the number I've got. And same question to you.
I'm teetering between two. I'm going to go with the higher one.
Okay. That makes sense.
One, two, three, six.
Seven. Ooh.
What? Seven?
Yeah.
Seven?
It's the subject matter more for me than... it's the subject matter and the performances. So... I was also not sure. I was also kind of at a six as well. So I'm not too against like dropping, but it was that brief moment of Jimmy's mum really kind of made a big difference and made a big impact. And it kind of set down on a path of being like, I don't want anything to do with you, Rachel. And that's always a positive in my opinion. And then the performances from Lisa Goldstein, and how she reacted and responded to things to Mouth and Alex, the way everyone treated Alex, and then the kind of subject matter around it. I think it was done fairly well as well. Like it wasn't distasteful. It wasn't like over egged. It was just kind of like, I've hit that low. I'm so fucking done with this. And it's like, I love you. You don't love me. I'm not going to be a problem for you anymore. I'm out. I'm done. I'm just so done. And it kind of, this episode hit a little harder than some of the previous ones that we've had that are like fours and fives and are just a bit like, we're just padding. It's just padding, isn't it? And filler, and it's just nonsense. But yeah, so that's why I gave this a bit of a higher rating than we have been giving them recently. So I don't know whether that has encouraged you to come any closer to my evaluation of the episode, but yeah, give us your reasons for the six, and you were thinking five.
Well, I think those are really good points. I think I'm struggling with taking subject matters out of it. It's not holding my attention like it used to, and there's a reason why on a lot of rewatches I'd like fall off around these periods and then leave it for a year and then just start from the beginning again. I mean, I don't think I ever really put much thought towards that, but I think I stop becoming as invested in these characters. Again, taking the subject matters out of it, I'm finding it hard to find where I'm identifying to. And the lack of Lucas in the show, just being real, it's like, well, where am I in this? And that doesn't mean you need that to be able to identify and associate to a show or to have some like common ground with it, but I don't know, it becomes soap opera to me and less of a, you know, like a drama. But listening to you speak then, I think you're right. It does actually handle a lot of the heavy subject matter well, and it's not doing it in a super cliche way. So I still feel comfortable with the six, but I mean, if you really wanted the seven, then I'm happy to meet you there. Yeah.
I mean I'm not going to push hard for it. The only thing is, like, I think that the like I said, the subject matter, the way it's kind of handled, the detail they put into it, it just the whole Jimmy's mum experience as well. I just thought it was kind of really well done compared to some of the previous episodes that we've had in this season, which have been like a real struggle to kind of give it a good rating at the end of it, and you know, a struggle to watch it, and a struggle to kind of make any sort of commentary on it, you know, even at the end of the watch along. I was like, what did you think of that? Like really not a lot I could say. And even at the end of the last one, it was like, this episode was pretty similar, but actually there was, I think we just went that little bit deeper into the rabbit hole and kind of scary things have happened on the back of it, you know, in terms of like Alex's storyline. So
completely,
I think you're right. You know, it's very soapy. It's hard to keep the attention. I find myself kind of, you know, wavering away and distracted by other things. And, you know, I can kind of, it's become a show that I can leave on in the background and not have to pay attention to. And then I go, oh shit, I need to pay attention because I'm about to talk for an hour and a half about it, you know, whatever it might be. So it certainly is difficult. I'm happy to come to a six. If you want to.
No, I think let's go for a seven. I think you're right. It's heavy subject matter. It's done well. And it does evoke emotions like that. The images of Alex in the bath, they really stay with you. And so it's powerful in that way. And sad also, of course.
Do it for Jimmy.
Yeah. Oh, and the Jimmy part. Yeah. So, I mean, but also, I don't know how many sevens we're going to get in this season. So, for the average, let's do it a favor. Let's go.
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking, you know, got to think of those numbers as well.
All right. So, we'll call this one a seven. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We really do appreciate it. I know we've had a bit of some gaps this year. And so, we really are grateful. Yeah, and we'll miss people on the watch along, but we will also enjoy the sleep. So, yeah. But we've got the quiz coming for the first of many Raven socials. But Dom, before we get out of here, I guess it's up. Is it up to me?
It's all up to you now. Yeah,
it's so
it's
dangerous. If I get to choose, I just always want you to do it as your dad, and that's like I have to. Okay, can you do it? Let's see if you can do it as somebody else's dad.
Ooh.
Well, the only dad I can think of in One Tree Hill is Mr. PJ. Let's go. It's been a minute. Let's go back to Paul. Paul Jansen. Have Dan Scott, please.
Dan Scott or Paul Johansson? I mean, it's a bit different, isn't it? But we'll
I like
do a bit of both.
I like your Paul. But at some point, can you also refer to me as Ellen? Remember you said, okay. I was like the Ellen. I'm like, that's
absolutely.
Please, thank you.
Okay. I'm really excited to do the this is my favorite thing. No, I love this. This is my favorite. So you're kind of like Ellen, right? You're like the Ellen of the show. You're
yes.
Ellen. You
yes.
know Ellen? You get Ellen over there?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's so good.
You know what Ellen is really great at? Counting to three and saying Ravens. Are you ready?
Yes.
You got this.
Yee!
I'm going to do the count. And you're going to listen. You're going to pay attention because I'm Dan Scott, okay? Are you ready? One. Two. Pause for effect. Three. Ravens.
Le Ravens.